Let's open our Bibles to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. Our text is verse 15. Let's read the chapter. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea, beside Pihahiroth, before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. We read God's holy and inerrant word to that point. Our text this evening is verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. Beloved of God, the Israelites have been delivered out of the land of Egypt by the 10 plagues. Like an OB doctor might pull a baby out of the womb with forceps, God has, by these 10 plagues, pulled Israel, his son, out of the house of bondage. And done so as a picture of how he uses the Holy Spirit by the power of regeneration to pull us out of the bondage of sin. And now, Canaan lies before Israel, Egypt lies behind. As heaven lies before us, and Egypt, the bondage of darkness, unregenerate state, lies behind. And the message of God to Israel and to you and me, his church, is go forward. Head towards Canaan, the promised land. Forward into the wilderness, forward into your life in the midst of this world, church of God. Press on. Forward into your callings that God gives to you. But on the way to Canaan, God sometimes puts his people in a position where it seems impossible to go forward. That's what he did to Israel here. Verse 1, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn. They had been heading south, coming out of Egypt, and God tells them to turn and to go back to the north and encamp in a specific spot before Pi-hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. And this spot that God told them to purposely go into was basically a cul-de-sac. The Red Sea was right in front of them. The fortress cities of Egypt, Pi-hahiroth, Migdol, Baal-zephon were to their left. The mountains of the wilderness were to their right. And if they turn around and look behind them, children, what did they see? They saw dust clouds rising up into the sky. And what did they feel? They could feel the ground shaking as the hooves of Egyptian chariots, horses leading those chariots, and the footmen, the armies of Pharaoh, were coming, bearing right down behind them. They were stuck, and they were terribly, terribly afraid. Verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. They're trapped. They're scared. And yet, in that very position, The command of God comes to them in our text in verse 15 and tells them, go forward, forward, straight into the sea, right into those deep waters. Thus saith the Lord, now is the time to go, and the way to go is forward, right into that sea. Maybe you feel like you're in just such a position as you come to church tonight. Stuck, hemmed in on all sides, nowhere to go. You turn this way or that way, and you can't move, and it seems like an impossible situation. Maybe you're unsure what the future might bring, the immediate future that's right before you, or the future that's out ahead of you a ways. Maybe as a congregation you feel that way, as a church, having lost your pastor. What do we do now? Where do we go? We turn this way and that way. We feel hemmed in, confused, hesitant. Where do we go? God says, this is the way. It's forward. Even though forward looks impossible too, this is the way forward. And I'll show myself to you in it. Faithful. You can trust me. Go forward is the theme tonight. Let's notice first the calling. Second, the calm. And third, the care. Go forward. The calling, the calm, and the care. The call itself is forward, forward, go forward. The word is picturesque in Hebrew. It means pull up your tent pegs and march. Israel was encamped right there. They had their tents out right before the sea. God is telling them, pull up your tent pegs, roll up your tents, and march forward, go. And that call comes to us through the text. It's the calling to embrace our callings. To go forward, not to sit and to check out, but to keep going. Go forward in the Christian life into the wilderness of this world in which we are trekking on to the Canaan that is before us. And the greater part of our Christian life is the callings that he puts before us. That's our path. That's our way forward. That structures our forward, doesn't it? These callings that he gives to us, go forward into them. The call to go forward carries with it the idea of embracing these with a certain passion, a certain zeal. Carry on in the service of my name with zeal for me, when a general of his army commands his troops to march forward, forward, march. He expects them to march forward and to drive on, to embrace the calling that they've been given, to go take that hill, to go attack, to charge the enemy, and to do that with some sense of zeal and some sense of drive and some sense of urgency that they're called to do this. They're to enter into that and to embrace that calling and not to do it sort of dragging their feet or looking behind them like Lot's wife longing, but to run the race that God sets before them. This is the way. Enter into it with confidence, with a desire to take hold of the responsibilities that he sets before us as opportunities to honor him. And of course, the army under that general does that. They do. They go forward. They trust the general's plan, the general's call, the general's path, that it's good and right. So too may we. With the assurances that his way is good and right, our great general calls us, enter in, go forward, head towards Canaan with some zeal, embrace the life that I put before you and the callings and the pathway. You have the cover of my promises over you. Psalm 139, verse 5. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. You have the means of grace to strengthen us onward, Christian soldiers. You have the charge of the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke 9, verse 62. And Jesus said to him, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Go on. It's a call forward, a call that comes to us as individuals in the Christian life, as families, as a congregation. Forward. More specifically, what are some of those callings, the path that lies before us? I might not know all of them for us individually, but generally speaking, we can speak to it, can't we? If you're married, embrace the marriage God has given to you and serve Him in it. The way we described this morning, sacrifice and devotion. This is your calling from God to you in this marriage. This marriage, embrace it. Go forward into it as a servant of Jesus Christ. Embrace it with zeal for Him. These are the marching orders of God Himself. If you are single, a young person, or an older person single, go forward into your singleness as long as that is His will for you. Maybe you wish you weren't single. Or perhaps there's the sorrow of an older one, the loss of a spouse. It brings trouble and sadness. The call is go forward. Go forward. Embrace the opportunity to serve Christ this way. Office bearers of the church, go forward. Embrace this calling that God gives to you. Some of the office bearers maybe have just been put into office for the first time. Others have been in office before, and maybe this term have been office for a year now, 2 years already. In both cases, there's the temptation to shrink back, tired, weary. The one in for the first time, nervous, scared. Go forward is the call of God in the service of His name. Embrace this calling that He puts before you. Don't shrink back. Go with wisdom, of course. But don't say, I'm just sort of going to slide by. We're just going to have to slide by for a while. And in this situation, maybe until God gives us a minister, we just sort of put it on autopilot for a while. But embrace is God's call. Go forward, embrace it in joyful service to Him. Forward, parents. It's tiring. It's physically tiring, emotionally tiring, spiritually tiring. Sometimes you feel like nothing's getting through. You keep saying the same things over. You keep disciplining. Is any of this sinking in? You're tempted to just drop it. Go forward. Go forward into your parenting and embrace this calling that God puts before you. Don't slide by. Don't say to yourself, just a few more years and they will be out of the house. That's the point. Just a few more years and they'll be out of the house. Never to be under your care and instruction this way again. Embrace this with zeal and joy to the service of His name. A calling that God gives to you. The path that's right before you. Older age. Go forward. Go forward. The rest of your days in the service of the Lord. You can see the shores of Jordan just up ahead. You can smell the smell of Beulah land wafting in. Go forward and finish your race strong in the service of Jehovah. Go forward. Perhaps into new callings, new opportunities that God may give you, set before you. In the race He has for you to run. Perhaps He gives you a new opportunity at work or a new job altogether, a new place to serve that you haven't had before. Maybe He gives you a new child and says, "Here, by My grace and My power, mold and shape this being after Me, the heart that longs to think My thoughts and to do My will." Perhaps He gives you a new trial in your life, which is really a calling to bear. Maybe He gives you a new opportunity, an open door to witness. Maybe a neighbor maybe someone you've known for a long time, and now there's a new way to talk to them. If it's genuinely from Him and not merely our feelings, but generally from Him, then go forward, embrace it. It's from God. Go forward. It's an antithetical call, this call, go forward. Because if you think about it, the world gives this call too. Forward, forward, forward. But when the world gives this call to go forward, it's very, very different. The world cries out, go forward. But by that they mean almost the exact opposite. Forsake your callings. Forsake the things that God has set before you to do. Forsake those hard things, those things that make you feel like you're heavy laden. And forward to the world means shove that off. Divorce that spouse. Go find something new and exciting. Forsake your callings. It's time to start over. You do you now. God's calling is go forward. And what I put before you in my word, enter into that, the joyful service to me. Go forward into spiritual growth, spiritual callings, the study of His word, the due use of the means of grace, family worship, personal devotions. Go forward into spiritual maturity. How many become stagnant? Just sort of want to slide by, never come to Bible study, don't speak of spiritual things with anyone. Maybe come to church, sit in a pew, hear bits and pieces here and there, but miss the entirety and the impact of the whole package as it comes forth before us. The Bible sits on the shelf, or we've downloaded the app, but how long has it been since we've opened it? Go forward. Use the means that are before you for spiritual growth. Forward into spiritual maturity. Hebrews 5, verse 12. For when the time comes that you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Go forward into spiritual warfare in your own life, battling against sin that doth so easily beset us. Slay it. Attack it in the power of the grace of God. Remove the influences on your life that you know you should have and haven't. Go forward. What if forward looks impossible? What if forward is a whole sea in front of me? It's frightening, it's terrifying. I can see the waves and I can see how deep it gets 15, 20 feet out. The foaming of the billows upon the shore. I'm liable to get in and it gets deep and it's drowning me and I don't know how to handle this. It's easier just to sit on the shore. It's easier just to back away from my regular callings in my life. Marriage. Marriage is a red sea. You don't understand. It's an impossible sea in front of me. What do you mean go forward into it? What do you mean embrace it? What do you mean take up my calling in it unto the service of the Lord God? It's impossible. It's impossible and it's frightening. I'm not going to. Children? They're children. What more do I have to say? I'll cook. I'll clean. But that's why we have Christian schools, and that's why we have catechism, so that we can send them there and other people can raise them for us. We don't have to raise them ourselves at all. Committees of the church, offices of the church. Well, if I didn't have to work with other people, maybe I'd embrace it and go forward in it, but this one with all their opinions all the time. And these two, they don't do anything. If I could just go off into a corner and do it myself and get it done and come back here and say, this is what we're doing. Fine, then I'll do it. But to have to deal with people, these people, you don't understand. How can I embrace this? This is a sea before me. It's impossible to get anything done. Or perhaps, if we look at our life, it looks like a Red Sea in front of us in just one of those areas, and others we like, but so these personal callings in my life, I embrace those. I embrace that. I'm going to go forward with zeal into that as the Lord sets it before me. But with the church, my callings with the church, I've been hurt too many times. Nope. That's a Red Sea. I'm not going into that. Or the other way, the church, I love that. I get to work with other people, the social aspect of it, but my home, you don't understand, it's a mess. I'm not going to. I'm done. Work, work's great. I'll throw myself into my calling at work and work long hours and leave my family to wonder where I am. Home, there's a sea. New opportunities. Those are like a sea in front of me. You don't understand. To get out of my comfort zone and embrace that kind of new opportunity, that's like a Red Sea before me. It's impossible. I don't know what to expect. How is this going to go? The wind could pick up. It's safer just to sit on the shore. Spiritual growth and Christian warfare, easier just to slide along in the Christian life. It's a mountain of work to prepare for Bible study and come and it's cold out. Or to really come to church and to seek the word, to take heed to the word preached. The elders don't know if I'm listening or not. All they know is if I'm sitting in the pew, so leave me alone. I'm here, aren't I? The church as a whole, too, can look around her and be frightened. How do we go forward? How do we go forward without a pastor? It's a Red Sea in front of us. How do we go forward in the midst of this world, in a culture that's increasingly growing in its wickedness? It's like the Egyptians bearing down upon us, threatening and warlike. Evangelism in this age, we're hemmed in. Raising the children of the church in this culture in true godliness and holiness, we might as well give it up. There's nowhere else to go. We're in a cul-de-sac. I can't go backward. I can't go right. I can't go left. And I know I'm called to go forward, but it's frightening, utterly frightening. And that's where God sits us down sometimes and calms us first. And says, lift your eyes off of the cul-de-sac for a minute and put them upon me. Look at me. And then come back down and look at it again. And yes, that's what he's doing here in this worship service tonight, as that's what he did for Israel in that cul-de-sac in which they found themselves. To see that, that was what God was doing with Israel. We have to back up just a couple verses and draw in something of the context here. And a matter that appears very, very strange about this passage at first. If you back up verses 13 and 14, there is an apparently contradictory command to what is commanded in our text in verse 15. Now remember, in verse 13, Israel is, they're still encamped by the sea. It's the same, exact same situation. And we read this. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Stand still. And then the very next verse is, go forward. Well, which is it? Stand still or go forward? And the answer is that it's both and in that order. And this is not contradictory, it's complementary. And the order is so very important. Stand still for a moment and see the salvation of your God. And then go forward. Israelites needed to stand still first. To stand still first and see the salvation of their God. Once they saw themselves hemmed in, and turned around and saw the Egyptians bearing down upon them, they were scared, they were angry, they were anxious, they were all aflutter. And in all the mix of all of that, they lash out at Moses in verses 11 and 12. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And that's precisely how it can be for us. When in God's providence, He has us in these cul-de-sac moments in our lives. We get anxious and we get scared. And our fear begins to take over us and we start to get testy and angry, and the kids can tell it. And the stress builds up, and it's because we're afraid. And it seems there's nowhere to go, and the sea in front of us, and when God tells us this is the way to go, it's so terribly frightening. What do? We want to sit there, or we want to go back, and we go back a little bit, and then that doesn't work, and we're getting ourselves into a deeper tizzy. And God says, hold on, still. It's the hardest thing to do. Still on the inside. But what do I do? And the questions and the mind is racing in the heart. Stand still. Be still. And know, I am God. Look at this over again with the eye of faith. See the salvation of your God. What a command. See the salvation of your God here. He's telling them to stop looking at the cul-de-sac in the Red Sea with the natural eye. To look at it with the eye of faith. Yes, it looks like an impossible situation. Yes, it looks like a cul-de-sac. But you're looking at it without bringing God into the picture. The God, have you forgotten already these 10 plagues and the way He delivered you out of the bondage of Egypt? You need to look back up at me and bring me back down in and see it with the glasses of me and my saving power upon your eyes. Envision it is the idea. It's not stand still and see the salvation of your God in the sense of stand still and just wait for it to happen. But it's stand still and envision it. Think about it in your mind. Envision God saving you out of this situation and believe it by faith, even though you can't figure out all of the details. Envision it for a moment. The God who's done these things in the plagues, how He could deliver you. This is the point of the Lord's Day. You know? We're in these cul-de-sac situations in our life. God brings us to his house on the Lord's day. He says, still, sit still. Look up. See me. And come back down. And view your life and the situation you're in with me. Like glasses upon you. See. See how I'm going to show myself faithful to you. See how I'm going to sanctify you in this. See how I'm going to show you my grace is sufficient for you in this most difficult of situations. All this is for the further saving of you and preserving of you. Calm yourself. See with the eye of faith. Once you have that perspective, then go right into it. Embrace it. With zeal, the glory of my name, wait. And I'll show you, as you go, I'll show you. I'm faithful. There's a going forward into that race that he sets before us, into those callings that he sets before us, that is a kind of going forward without first standing still and seeing the salvation of God, and I don't recommend it to you. It's so important, the order here. Stand still first for a moment and get this spiritual perspective and your soul in the right place, and then go and go and go. There's a going forward in our own strength. Some people have that kind of personality. They never see a challenge that they don't want to dive headlong into immediately. There's a sea there. I'll swim that sea. But they don't stand still first and see the salvation of their God and set their soul and go forward in his strength and instead go forward in their own strength, and they're halfway into the sea and they start to drown and they head back. But then there's a going forward that's this going forward after standing still, seeing the salvation of God, having the spiritual perspective and going forward in his strength and the knowledge of his saving power. And then I go forward and with that confidence, slow, steady, mature confidence, I see it through, I embrace it, and I walk. Sit still. And then go forward. Once, beloved, once we have sat still and seen the salvation of God with the eye of faith, then it's time to go. Go. Forward, forward, go. When the Lord's day is over, you head into Monday. You go, and you embrace Monday, and Tuesday, Wednesday, and all the way to Saturday. And then you sit still again, and you see the salvation of our God. And then you go, and you go forward, and you embrace it. No more delay, and you go. It's time to go. Look what God says. Moses in our text, after they had sat still for a time and saw the salvation of their God. It's striking. And the Lord said to Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. This is an astounding thing. So far as I can tell, it's the only time in the Bible where God reprimands somebody for praying. Moses is crying out to the Lord, praying to the Lord. God says, Moses, stop praying. Get going. Tell him to go. It's time to move. What's there to pray about anymore, Moses? You've stood still. You've looked up. You've seen the salvation of God. You have the eyes of faith. It's not time to pray anymore. Now it's time to go. It's time to move. Time to embrace. He's not rebuking Moses for prayer itself, but for praying when it's time to get going. Out of fear, sometimes we can need the same rebuke. We know what our calling is. We know what it is. We know what we're supposed to do. We've stood still. We We've seen the salvation of our God, what he does in situations like this, how he sanctifies, how he shows himself faithful and trustworthy. We've gained that spiritual perspective on it. And now it's time to go, and we say to ourselves, well, let me pray about it for another week. It's not time to pray about it anymore. It's time to go. Go. If you told your child to go clean his room, and he responded to you, well, I hear what you're saying, Mom. I'll pray about it for the next 3 days, and I'll get back to you. You'd say, you don't need to pray about this. This is your calling. The Bible says, children, honor their father and mother. I'm your mother. I tell you to do this. Go do it. You can sit still for a minute and set your heart right, but then go. Embrace it. So too for us. Don't hear me wrong. There's plenty of times, of course. Maybe we're confused. We don't genuinely know what we're supposed to be doing. We ought to pray about it and be clear, search Scripture, and seek advice. But I'm talking about the other times where we know, but we don't want to. And God says, you don't need to pray about it anymore. You've gained the right perspective. You know I'm with you. You know this is my way. I will lead you and go with you in it. Time to go. Love your wife. Reverence your husband. Raise your children utterly different from this world. Serve the body of Jesus Christ. Take up your God-given appointments. In his name, go. And as he gives us grace to do so, we walk and we watch as the thing so frightening to us and so impossible to us becomes in reality and in our experience what we saw it would be by faith when we were still. It becomes the way of our further salvation. As it did for them. As the sea opened up by an east wind and they went forward. Still scary, still hard, not easy. We sang about it from Psalm 77. It was thunder and lightning and rain, we're told, and these high walls of water on both sides. It's not as though the Lord put pavers out in front of them and built a nice garden path and a nice little summer breeze. It was still difficult, utterly difficult. He didn't make it easy for them. It was still a hard way. And our calling as we embrace it and go forward will still be that. It will still be a difficult, hard calling, but it was the way. And because it was the way that he showed himself faithful to them. It was the way of their further growth and salvation. The enemies were destroyed before their very eyes. As the waters came down upon the Egyptians, they knew their God. They knew their God was with them, close with them. The same God who fought for them at the beginning was fighting for them still. They grew in trust and faith and hope in the very way of going forward. It's the last verse of Exodus 14 say, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. They saw the salvation of their God. And they grew spiritually in faith, hope, and trust. And so we, this way, if this is the way that he puts before us, impossible though it might seem, it is the way. It is the way of our further salvation. The God who has regenerated us will grow us and mature us through this. It's going to be hard. But he will, and he'll show himself faithful. He'll show himself trustworthy. He'll show the truth that my grace is sufficient for you. Make himself known. as he upholds, strengthens, as he opens the way. The deliverer out of the bondage of Egypt is the one who goes with me yet into the wilderness, on the way forward to Canaan. He goes before us. He did this. He opened the way for Israel. They didn't do it. Their going forward didn't cause the Egyptians to be destroyed. God did it. But he gave it to them in the way of giving them to go forward. That's how they saw it and knew it. Who cannot testify to the truth of this in their own experience, in their own life? We go forward. And of course, our going forward is a result of his grace. It's all of grace. And that grace gives us to go forward in the way of that we experience his sustaining hand. We know we're walking with him. He's upholding us, giving us strength, sanctifying us, working in us patience, working in us trust. We'd often like to have all the details worked out first before we take that first step, huh? God, just give me a bar graph. And how much trust am I going to get through this? And how much faithfulness are you going to show in this? And you lay the whole thing, all the details before me, and then I'll examine it and I'll decide if I'm going to go forward or not. It doesn't work that way. Abraham had to leave Ur before God told him the details. The same Israelites, the priests are going to have to step into the water when they cross the Jordan first, before the water parts. Here too, call, go forward. And then he shows the details. You see it? You see it generally. See the salvation of our God. We know it generally. I know he's going to grow me in faith and trust in him. He's going to sanctify me through this. He's going to preserve me in this. You know it generally, but he's not going to tell you the details. But it's along the way that he unfolds those details and shows trust. Beloved, whatever his callings are before you in your life, this is the good and right way. And he will show this to you too. Trust families. Trust congregation. We've sat still. Lord's Day. We've looked up tonight. We've gained this perspective. We're seeing the salvation of our God. Now go forward into Monday and embrace zeal for him, for the glory of his name. Amen. Father in heaven, bless thy word to our hearts. Strengthen us by it. Give us grace, spiritual wisdom, and power and zeal to go forward in the service of thy name, to deny ourselves, serve our God, and to know that thou wilt show us thou art a faithful God. It's exciting too, Father. There are seas before us, but thou art the God who parts the sea. And there's an excitement to see how God will work in every situation, in every calling thou dost give. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen.